Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for July 10th, 2016. This week's sermon is titled, Life Without Limits.
There's one other guy that probably goes to the front of the line, and it's this man that 47 years ago, I walked up to this man at the front of the church at a response time at our church and told him I felt God had called me to preach. And my brother was 17 years old. My brother, 50 years ago, like two or three years before that day, my brother, 17 years old, was not following Christ and making some really bad decisions for his life. Was on a path that wasn't going to end well. And he made a commitment. He accepted Christ, but needed a mentor and needed a coach and needed somebody to show him the way. Needed somebody that would raise his adrenaline level. And he met this man that I'm going to introduce to you in a minute. And his call was confirmed and really changed the trajectory of our lives. And just a guy who's way ahead of his time. He has gone on to pastor, built several churches, preached in 70 countries, served as the bishop for the Pentecostal Church of God for several years of the state of Florida. And I just warn you, he's nothing like me. I mean, you're going to get a different experience right now, but you're going to love it. And so I want to just turn the pulpit over to Reverend C.W. Goforth. Amen. 82 years young. You ready? God bless you, man.
Love you, buddy. Many brought back to town. Just a young, cotton-headed. Well, anyway. You always knew when Philip was there. I understand he's Phil now, but we just called him Philip. I had a boy that's, my oldest boy is 62, and Phil, I think, 61, and Bubba. His name was Malcolm, but we all called him Bubba, and he was, he's 60 now. Then I had a daughter, 58, daughter, 54, son, 52, and I don't know what happened, but about 8 years later, another one was born. My wife said, there's three boys and only two girls. We need one more. I said, not on your life. She said, okay. We had the other one. Had a wonderful time. Little town of Farmersville. Large city. 2,021 population. Our church was right on the main street. They didn't have but one highway through there. Right across the street from us was the Dairy Queen. And man, they knew that they had to get things ready because that's the only place in town to eat. And they said, now they'll be coming out any minute. They said, man, church should have already been over. And they'd look at their watch and say, it's 1 o'clock. Said, you don't know that preacher. And I'll guarantee you, I'm not going to preach that long this morning, maybe. But it's an honor to be with you, an honor to be with Phil. Joe has been, he's one of my boys that I really depended on when he was a, after I got him really committed. Just a great guy. And Phil, I didn't even think about him following in the ministry. But you know what? After Phil gave his heart to God, after he really committed himself to the ministry, I told my wife and I told several others, I said, that'll be the preacher. I said, he may not preach like us. He's more like his father, Bailey McCutcheons. And I said, Bailey graduated from Southwestern Assemblies of God Bible School in Waxahachie. He taught my adult senior class for a while. And just a great man. And I said, Phil's going to be a sticker. He's going to go and he's going to stay. I've started about, I don't know how many churches. When I was a bishop of Florida, I would go in and I think I started almost 30 churches in the 12, 14 years that I was a bishop there. And usually I started them. And then I would build them and keep it going, and then I'd get somebody to come in. And of course, by that time, I was the assistant general bishop of our organization, and finally took as, you know, and the steps are going up. And but my wife and I have, we got married in 1953. We were married until 2015. She passed away on the 18th day of June last year. My world came to an end. It was the only woman that in my life, I mean, she was the greatest thing that ever lived. Phil didn't tell you, but he lived at my house most of the time. Every weekend for how many years? 5 years. And not only him, but Joe, and not only him, but there was sometime 20 of them. And they'd be, the girls had the upstairs, 3 bedrooms. No, the boys had the upstairs. The girls had the downstairs. And my wife and I just slept where we could. And she cooked for all of them. We'd have 25 kids there sometime. We'd go to church on Saturday night. That was our big night. And the church would be jammed and packed and people standing up. We had a youth choir of about 45, 50 kids. And man, you talk about singing the glory down. They sang it down. And I've thought about Phil in all of these years. And he's been after me. He said, you got to come to up here. And I have preached in this area, oh, I guess it was probably 45, 50 years ago. And I used to go to New York quite often. I've been to New York City. I've been out on the island out there and had several meetings. In fact, I went to Massapequa, Long Island, and a church out there, AG Church, and the revival lasted for, I think it was almost 5 months. We went night after night and then had day services. I could do that back then. Amen. But I'm getting younger as the days go by. I didn't have a white hair in my head till I was almost 70 years old. And I don't know what happened, but it just suddenly got there. But I want to talk to you a little while this morning about a new life. Living a life without limits. I don't want you to limit God. I want you to understand that God is here for you, that God is the only one that's going to help you, and that as we get ready to move with Him, that I feel like the precious place that that we're into, we're going to do some things. Let me make sure this phone's off. I was preaching a convention in New Mexico, and right in the middle of my sermon, I forgot, had that phone right up here. And I had one of them kind of speakers on, or phones, that right there by it. And I heard a phone keep ringing. I said, I wish y'all turn that phone off. But then it began to vibrate. I said, oh, my God. I said, stand by. I had just told these people that God had their phone number, and He's probably going to call you one night. And I says, Lord, I picked it up and I said, yes, God. I just told them that, Lord. Man, got quiet on the other end of the line. I said, well, I'm sorry, Lord. I knew who it was. I seen his name on there. Keith Walker from Fresno, California. Bishop, when you coming? I said, well, I'll tell you again, Lord, and I'll tell him one more time. And I hung up. I said, God has got your number and He wants me to let you know He's fixing to come and call you. In fact, He's already called me. I got to preach. And man, we had church that morning. Amen. It was an Indian camp meeting. And you can tell them anything. They'll believe it. I finally told them it wasn't the Lord, but I didn't want them to go away thinking that He had my phone number. Of course, He does have it, and He has yours too. How many has ever read the verse in John, the 10th chapter, and about the 10th verse? It said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. He said, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Father, in the name of Jesus, I look to you today. I ask you, God, to touch us as we start this message. I ask you, Lord, to bless these beautiful, wonderful people from New England. Lord, I thank you for them and taking care of one of our boys for the last 28 years. I thank you, Lord. And I thank you for Phil. Thank you for his beautiful wife. Thank you for his two daughters and son. But more than that, God, I thank you for you. You had mercy. You had mercy, first of all, upon me. I'll never forget the night that Phil came to me and said, I'm called to preach. And I said, well, good, start studying. I'm going to give you a lot of time. I give him till Wednesday night. Hallelujah. But God, you know how to do it. And I ask you to do it again today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you for a moment on life without limits. That'd be nice if we didn't have any limits, wouldn't it? Be nice if we didn't have anything that could hold us back. Too often the term prosperity gets hijacked to mean nothing more than an elusive state of temporary bliss or positive karma. Certain extremists in the faith-based community teach that faith is only a matter of dollars and cents. Faith doesn't mean how much money you got, doesn't mean anything such as that. Faith means I believe God. Faith means when God calls, you listen. Faith means when God says come, you come. When God says go, you go. Faith means that you're going to obey the word of God. That's what faith is. Faith, faith, faith. There's nine gifts of the Spirit. Every one of them was put on by the laying on of hands, but one. That's the gift of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of what? The word of God. And when you see that faith, and you see that certain things, it's there. You know, we like to quote scriptures that promise great wealth. I think it's 3 John 2, beloved, above all things, I wish that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Well, he doesn't really mean it that way. Yeah, prosper. That's what he wants us to do. And so we all get on a radio, and when I was on television and, you know, and doing things, man, that's the first thing you do. You begin to quote it. But one day God said, won't you quote it like it's supposed to be? He said, number one is your soul. If it's not in tune with me, I'm not going to do the other two. But he said, second is your health. And last is your prosperity. We've got it just backwards. We like to go because the prosperity feels good. I believe in that. But I also believe that number one, our souls has to be in tune with God. Our soul has to do some things for us. And if we're going to emphasize the importance of a practical, pragmatic plan of faith, which works ethically, it works in education, it works in economic, it's a different empowerment. And some of us, we like to manipulate scripture to fit their own purpose and achieve our own personal gain. But there's not but one thing that you can fit to, and that's the word of the living God. There's only one thing that we need to look at, and that's God's word. And then there's a lot of those that teach piety. You know what piety is? They believe that you got to be poor to do anything. They believe you got to be poor to go to heaven. Some people say you can't go to heaven if you're not poor. Well, I don't like that way. Amen. When I was a kid, we lived 25 miles out on the Wichita River from Wichita Falls, Texas. I lived with my grandparents. I lost my father when I was 9 years old. And very tragic. I went and lived with my grandparents for a while, and then I lived with some others for a while, and then I lived with an uncle for a while and an aunt for a while, and I always end up back with my grandparents. They didn't have any electricity. They had a nice four-room house, and they had a path. You don't know what that path was. It's not a bath, but it's a path. It went out to the outhouse. That's exactly what they called it. And we had a pump about, I guess, 40 feet from the house, and you had to go down there, and you had to prime it, and you had to get that thing. Man, I didn't know any better. That's all I'd ever had, so it looked good. And I loved baseball. I just loved as a kid. I was good at it, and I loved it. And so I remember there was a guy named Al Hefner, and he had the game of the day. And he used to broadcast all over the United States on this one network. And half of the games were Boston Red Sox games. Now, I know there's a Yankee fan in here, and he's not going to like that. But there's two teams I couldn't stand. Brooklyn Dodgers and New York Yankees. We're not Yankee fans. Oh, all right. But the team that I loved was the Boston Red Sox. I loved Bernie Tibbetts catching. Had that high voice. And he'd drill others. I loved old Walt Dropo, first base, Billy Goodman, second base, Vern Stevens and Johnny Pesky and Ted Williams and Dominic DiMaggio. Them were drilled into me from my youth and from a child. And I couldn't wait. And I hoped the wind blew. Because the wind didn't blow, I couldn't listen to the radio because the battery would go down. But if that wind kept blowing, it blowed strength in there, and I got to listen to the Red Sox. I love them. The game of the day. And it seemed like about every other one was a Red Sox game. So I just got to so used to that. And I always liked Boston since then. I like it. Why? Because I like baseball and because I used that thing and played the game and so enjoyed it. But I here I am preaching, not in Boston, but I didn't tell everybody where I was going. I just told them I was going to Boston. They wouldn't know Milford, and they wouldn't know Minden, and they wouldn't know all these. I'd never seen so many towns in my life. We went right through here, and I said, we're over here. And they said, no, we're in another town now. I said, well, how do you know? Well, it's on that street over there. And I mean, he said, well, we're in another town now. I said, where's your church? He said, it's in another town. But I finally found it this morning. Praise God. We're here. And I know what a kerosene lantern is. I know how I use them. But I want to talk to you about a life without limits. And it's meant to give you the tools to succeed and to be prosperous. The important thing is that we teach faith is connected to good works and responsibility. You've got to do these things. It's time for us to direct our hope toward building our dreams instead of waiting on our dreams to happen, because it ain't going to be that way. And I know you're not supposed to use ain't, but it's not going to be that way. Our dreams, we have to work on our dreams and we have to build our dreams. We have to build toward our dreams, not let the dreams build toward us. The Bible said in John 8:32, then you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. I believe that. I believe there's truth in here. And as we look at various areas of our life that needs adjusting, and I wonder, are we willing to reposition ourselves so that we can live a life without limits? There's nothing worse than reaching the end of your life and wondering what could have happened. Or should have happened, but somehow didn't happen. The sad memories of the last opportunity have made many people bitter the rest of their lives. It's just something that could never be. The Olympic runner that had it all won. He had beat this guy that he was running against 9 out of 9 times. He said, I'll beat him one more time. And man, he just got almost to the end and he began to slow down. And when he did, the fella that was behind him, he lunged and he won the Olympic medal. And the fella that had won 9 straight times, he didn't get anything. Well, he got a silver, but what he wanted was the gold. It's amazing. We don't stop at the end of our life, but we keep traveling. We keep going from one direction to another. We keep moving, but move toward the calling of Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to live to the fullest. We want the most spiritually thing we can have, and even relationally. Yet we ought to settle for the best life that we think, but it's not the best life that God wants for us. My wife's name was Sula, S-U-L-A. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful girl. My Lord, when I met her, whoo! Amen. I was preaching a revival in Lawton, Oklahoma. And anyway, that pretty girl that came up on me, and she was just so nice. And I didn't really could see her because she had an accordion. And this accordion was bigger than her. She only weighed 88 pounds when we got married. Great big girl. But anyway, she was there, and I looked at her, and I said, baby. I mean, I didn't say baby. I said, ma'am. Now, you got to understand, this was 1953. And so we got married. And we come from this there's a different background than what you're used to. It's a different life. And oh man, you had to have everything perfect. And the women couldn't go on the stage unless they had nylon stockings on. They couldn't wear rings. They couldn't wear a lot of things. And so my wife always was with me. And so after, well, we waited 2 months. And we got married. I said, how in heaven's name can you marry in 2 months' time? And people said, I don't know, it won't last. I was laughing at them for 62 years. It just kept laughing. Amen. Just kept going. But I looked around and I could see a lot of things. But my little wife, you know, she had to have, and we were stretching it, moving out, and we were always traveling. We was out in New Mexico, and then we was in Arizona, and then we come back to Texas. And during our times, sometimes the offerings weren't what you call real good. I remember one time I preached a revival and we got $8 and 8 cans of beans and some cans of corn and other things. We didn't have no place to fix the beans or the corn or anything else. Amen. But that was that $8 that, you know, it was hard to buy gas and all of that things, even though gas was like 15, 20 cents a gallon. And when one day she says, honey, I can't wear these nylons no more. Somebody give me some fingernail polish, and I put all the runners, and you probably never did this, but it would make a, you know, and stood up, when she'd take them off, instead of folding them up, she'd just set them up. Y'all think I'm joking. I'm not joking. She'd set them up there, and then she'd cry, and I'd hold her, and I'd say, honey, I'm sorry. I'm going to buy you some. I'm going to get some for you. I'm going to do it right away. Amen. And one night, man, we went somewhere and some guy said, you need to buy your wife something. And he handed me a $50 bill. I had never seen a $50 bill. I looked at that thing and I said, thank you, sir. Next day, I said, honey, I got to go. She said, where are you going? I said, I got to go by the church. And so I went by the church so she wouldn't know that I wasn't telling the truth. Amen. I had read in the paper that Jacques Panay had hosiery for sale. You say, where's Jacques Panay? That's called J.C. Penney. Amen. But Jacques Panay was, hey, that's what that is, Jacques Panay. Amen. But I looked around and here we had all of these things. And, you know, life really wasn't what it was beat up to be. And I went in and it says their best line of hosiery and said, you can buy a dozen and 2 dozen. And that's the limit. And they had them on sale for 50 cents a piece. Man, I had a $50 bill. I wanted to buy, so I took up 4 dozen. And they said, you can't have them. You can only have 2 dozen. I said, okay. So I paid the lady and I went over. And I was sitting there watching. And I was looking at other things I was buying. And finally, I seen that woman leave. And I run back over there and another lady come and she waited on me and I bought 2 more pair of dozen. Amen. So we got through with all of that, and you know, and by the time I was fixed to leave, there was a man come, and he relieved both of them. And so I went over and bought 2 more pair. Man, I had 6 dozen pair of hose. My wife said, what'd you? Well, I got home, and you know, I slipped in the house, and don't worry about it. I run about 2 miles a day, and I still walk and I still go up and down hills and I still do all this. I thought just because you're 82, you're not supposed to quit. Amen. Life is just now beginning. Amen. And anyway, I got home and I got her there and I said, baby. And she said, where's my hose? They're not standing in the corner with all that fingernail polish on them. And I said, well, baby, they've got to be here somewhere. I said, open that drawer. Maybe you put, honey, I couldn't get them in there. They're too stiff. And she opened that up, and she seen all of those. Woo! Man, she said, whose are these? I said, for the girl I love the most. That's who's there. Amen. And there was supposed to be a picture of my wife up there when I was talking about her, but I guess they forgot it, so don't worry about it. Amen. Oh, it was earlier? Okay. Oh, that's what I wanted to see. Now, this lady here, that was our 60th wedding anniversary right there. We'd been married 60 years. She still had very few wrinkles. She had a little spots of gray in there, and my daughter has did her hair for the last 40 years, and she wouldn't let her touch her up. She wouldn't do nothing. She said, no, that's the way I want to look. Amen. And she looked that way right up until the day that she passed from this life. That was my pride and joy. But I want you to know, she never did without nylon hosiery again. Because every time she'd get low, I'd go buy two or three dozen pair. Amen. And she'd tell that story. We went to Herman May's furniture store in Farmersville. And we were going to get, when we built our new house over there in Farmersville. And I said, honey, let's go over here. And we got over there, and when she got to looking, and she said, they said, we've got some brand spanking new furniture just come in. Said, it's the craze now. It's antique. We got back there and looked at that. She said, I slept on that stuff all my life. I don't want no antique. Amen. I want new stuff. Amen. Well, I'm tired of antique going to church. I like something new. I like something exciting. I was way before my time. Amen. I went out with the kids, and I played football with them, and I played basketball with them, and I played golf with them, and I did a lot of things with them. Amen. And you know, they'd say, preacher, I'm worried about you. You got so many of them young people, you're leading them down the wrong path. Amen. Why? Because I played ball with them? Why? Because we had a good time together? Well, they didn't believe in anything. They didn't believe in anything. Amen. Everything was a sin to them. But nothing was a sin to me as long as you kept God first. And I put Him first in life. I put Him first. I'd get on a committee and they'd say, oh, Lord, we got one of them now. And I'd always say, I'm against that. And then two or three more would stand up and say, until you got here, we never had no problems. Well, I said, I'll resign. The other rest of them said, no, you're not. Amen. We're going to stay with it. But I believe a church is exciting when it goes out and does its own thing as long as it's with God. Oh, hallelujah. It's exciting to me. I'm excited about what you're doing. I'm excited about all of these things up here. See, look, we're living a life without limits. Why do we limit God? Why do we tell God? And why does people say you can't do that? I got news for you. You can do anything you want to do as long as God's on your side. And God is on my side. And God is on your side. And God will never get off of your side. If there's any getting, it'll be you that's leaving Him. But God wants us to do some things. So when we begin to see this life and we begin to touch on it, there's a lot of things that happens. There's a lot of strength that comes. There's a lot of glory that's in there. And often, instead of living that full spiritual life, we like to go on and do something else. Isaiah 1:19 said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Let me tell you what it really reads in the original. In Isaiah 1:19, if you willingly obey, you'll feast like kings. In other words, everything that God has is for you. And some in service have been lulled into sleep by a sense of apathy, and they won't accept anything that God wants them to have. I'm tired of living from paycheck to paycheck. I'm tired of the church living from paycheck to paycheck. I'm tired of all of these things. I'm not stuck in a job. I'm not stuck somewhere where I have to do what everybody else does because everybody else does it. Amen. Thank God for Phil McCutcheon's. Thank God for a church, BCC. Is that right? Amen. Thank God for BCC that'll get out and go. I come in, Sister Judy, Sherry's sister, she came and got me at the airport on Thursday. And we come right down, and I said, look at that, there's a church right in the middle of town. What was it, the Living Word or something like that? And she said, well, that's not really that's whatever the name is on there. Freedom. Yeah, Freedom. And I said, man, that's something. She said, no, that belongs to us. I said, I didn't know that's the name of your church. She said, it's not. Well, she got me confused, so I didn't ask her nothing else. Is Sister Judy here this morning? Oh, okay, I hear you. Amen. But we went on, and she just began to tell me. And then I said, well, what about this barn that I hear so much about? And little did I know that that's where I was staying. I had my choice between a Hotel Hilton or staying out there. And it looked like our chicken coop when I walked in the door. I mean, same thing. Built just exactly like what we had. Amen. If I walked on in, it was a little different. But Phil said, heads, you can stay at the Hilton. Tails, you can stay out here. He flipped it up. He said, it's tails. I looked at it. Both sides were tails. Amen. Not really, but when you begin to see things, and I'm glad he put me on the ground. I walked outside yesterday, and I sat down in a chair, and I was sitting there counting, and I counted 33 cars parked at the barn. What the miracle barn, the blessing barn, our miracle barn. There's a barn anyway. Amen. And I looked at it, and I said, oh, my God, this is amazing. This is wonderful. And so I got out there, and I walked around. The first one I met, I think, was Elizabeth. And then there was another by the name of Jackie in there. I know they're probably here this morning. Maybe I missed their names, but anyway, I was right. Praise God. One thing I hardly ever do is forget a name. I remember I was preaching one time, and a fellow walked up to me, and he said, C.W. Goforth. I hadn't seen you in, let's see, how long? I said, 30 years. I said, you're from Massapequa, Long Island, New York. He looked at me and said, how in heaven's name do you remember that? Do you remember my name? I said, give me a time, I will. Amen. I just kept talking to him after a while. I said, your name's Arbery. I told him his wife's name was Michelle. He looked at me and he said, I haven't seen you in all those years. How do you remember that? I said, God said he'd bring things to my remembrance. Sometimes it takes him a while. I'm older now. Amen. But when you begin to look at these things, I'm going to tell you something. I want to live and I want to have the thing that God wants me to have. See, many people choose to live in a perpetual state of denial rather than do hard work that's needed to confront issues, weaknesses, habits, and inconsistencies in themselves. The question, if you want to live a life without women, without limit, not women, limit. Amen. I'm living a life without women. I've had about 10 calls from women in the last year. I've met you down through the years. My husband was one of your preachers. You was our bishop when you was in Florida. You was our assistant general bishop, and they've called me from everywhere. And I said, well, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. Praise God. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Pastor, I'm pastoring a church again now. Took a little church, had 7 people in it, and my wife said, the guy asked me, said, will you take this church? And I said, heavens no, I'm not going to take this church. I said, it's got a for sale sign on it. And they said, well, we'll take that for sale sign down. And I looked at him, I said, well, I don't think you get anything for it. In fact, I don't think anybody'd come to this church. It had been raining, and the parking lot that had been blacktopped 25 years ago was a mud hole. And so I said, how much money they got? None. I said, how many people they got? None. But there is about 7 that wants to come back. And I told them that I'd get you to come preach for them. And I went and preached for them that morning. He lied. They didn't have a 6. Amen. And I sat there and looked at it a little while. And my wife said, honey, you need to take this. Are you out of your mind? I said, when we went to Farmersville, we at least had 20. Amen. It didn't take long. Amen. Somebody said, how did you do that? You remember old Jay and Sue Justice? And James and Carol Montgomery? And Jimmy and Maxine Riddle? Okay, well, Jimmy was a little bitty guy, about like that. And Maxine was littler. But I walked over there that first Sunday, and they said we had 30 people there. And I counted. 18. How'd you get 30? Said, well, we count the Sunday school as well. But 12 goes home after Sunday school. I said, come again? You know, I wasn't used to that. And so I said, okay, that's good. So 2 or 3 Sundays rocked around, and we began to get a few more people. We had 40 one day. And I looked, and they said, they had 40 on there, and I counted. It was 28. I said, wait a minute. This ain't adding up. So the next Sunday, I got a bright idea. I locked the Sunday school out. I closed all the, in the CA hall, I closed it all out. I locked every door. I had the only keys. I put them in my pocket. I says, come to the auditorium. Sunday school in there this morning. Man, we had about 50 people showed up. And they all come inside. I walked over to one of them. I said, go for us, my name. I'm the pastor here. He said, well, I belong here. I said, I've never met you. Well, we go to Sunday school. I said, that's wonderful. I believe in Sunday school, but I also believe in church school. They looked at me a little bit, and boy, we had a time. Amen. And that day somebody said, there's a young man that I've been trying to win, and he won't come to church. His mother comes here. I had my suit on. I walked over. I drove to his house, and he was out there underneath the car. And I got down on my knees, and I looked there, and I said, Jay Justice? And he said, yes, sir. I said, my name's C.W. Goforth. Oh, he said, you're that preacher. I said, I'm not that preacher. I am the preacher. He looked at me, and he said, what do you mean? Well, I'm the only preacher we got over here at First Assembly of God. And he looked at me a little while, and I looked at him, and he said, well, what do you want from me? I want you to get out from under this car, and I want to talk to you, and you're going to start coming to church. You're going to be one of my leaders in my church. He said, you're crazy. I said, I may be, but you're going to be there Sunday morning. Is that understood? He said, yes, sir. He didn't wait till Sunday morning. He came Sunday night. And he brought James and Carol with him, Montgomery's. They had been in the church, Sister Patterson's daughter. And anyway, they came, and it wasn't long. Within 6 weeks, we had picked up 12 young married couples. Woo! We didn't have that 12 in Sunday or on church. We didn't have that 16. I mean, man, I just went in and got them. And I'd go in under the cars. I'd crawl there with my suit on. It wasn't a very expensive suit. Didn't make no difference if it got dirty or not. Amen. But I thought about it. Man, if you want to build something, build it. If you want to be successful, be successful. Whatever you want to do. The first two or three years in office in Florida, I think we built something like 30 or 40 churches. What a, just an amazing accomplishment. Amen. Because if you don't get excited about it, who is going to get excited about it? Leadership has to get excited. Now I'm talking to the leadership of this church. You have to be excited. Amen. You've got a tool right here. This man's the one that's got the vision. Talk to Sherry. She's got the vision. Every time I'd talk to him about something, I'd say, how are you going to handle that, Phil? And we talked quite a bit on the telephone. And I said, how are you going to handle that? He said, I've got Sherry. And when I'm seeing that building downtown, I said, how are you? You got Sherry. Then we went to some building over here that going around and around and around. I'd never seen such a big building in my life. And it had wings and it had everything on it. I said, well, where's Sherry today? Oh, she'll be out here on her knees working on the floor doing something. I said, man, every preacher needs a Sherry. But every preacher don't have one. In fact, that's what's wrong with a lot of them. Amen. I had a preacher one time, and I said, man, your church is going downhill. He said, well, look, I give them my time. I give them Sunday morning, I give them Sunday night, and I give them Wednesday night. And I said, well, what if they just paid you for those 3 days or those three services? And then you didn't get nothing the rest of the week. Well, that's not right. I said, it's not right for you to not be their pastor either. One night, somebody had called me, 3:00 in the morning. And they said, Bishop? I said, yeah. He said, I can't get a hold of my pastor. So we can't get him except when he gets to the church. I said, what's happened? He said, my husband's died. Middle of the night. They took him to the hospital, but he was already dead. I said, where's he at? Still there? I said, there'll be somebody there in just a minute. I called. That preacher answered the phone, and I said, listen, you got a member that's dead. How do you know? I said, she couldn't get a hold of you because you don't let your number out. After 5:00, you don't answer calls. Say, call after 8:00 in the morning. What if they need you at midnight? And now you've got somebody that needs you at 3:00 in the morning. I've never had an unlisted phone in all of my life. Anybody could get a hold of me. When I went on the general board, I was the only one that they could get a hold of. So somebody from California would call me in Florida. Amen. I'd say, man, I've got his number. I'll get a hold of him. He'll call you within the next few minutes. And I said, call now. Call now. We're building a church. We're building the kingdom. Every one of you are responsible for this church. Every one of you are responsible. This is not a one-man show. This is not a one or a two person, a husband and wife show. This is the whole church. This church could have never survived without you. And thank God you're still here, but there's more looking to come in. There's more. When I walked over to that blessing barn and counted 33 cars out there on the parking lot at that time, that's not counting those that's coming and going and going and coming. And I walked in there and I seen people and they were, it was amazing. And they were there, I guess, all day long, just coming and a going, coming and a going, coming and a going. And I said, what an amazing thing. Amen. And Brother Phil has took me to all these places he's got, and he's took me to this one, and he's took me to that one, and he said, this is another place we have. I don't even know where it was. They took upstairs of some, that's what? BCC downtown. It didn't look like downtown to me. It just looked like, I thought about that. Man alive, what an example this man has set for the rest of the churches around here, for the rest of the pastors, and they won't like you. Pastors are jealous of you. Why? Because you got Sherry. That's all I can tell you, son. He just said, they can't have her. Amen. I understand that. But let's take the limit off of God. Let God bless you. Let God just come on the scene. Phil was reminding me of somewhere when Bailey, his dad, died. I was in a revival in Dallas, Texas. That church, it had a few people in it. I think they had about, I don't know, the church seated, what? Was it the new church? Or was it the one? Huh? New. It wasn't the original. Okay. I went to the original and stayed 1 year in revival one time. Preached every night and every morning. That's 14 sermons a week. Then I made the radio broadcast because the pastor said, well, man, you got it going. I want you to keep it going. We'd never have under 1,000 people. Sometimes in the middle of the week, in the morning service, we'd have to come back out in the auditorium. They had it in a second auditorium, but we'd come back out because we had 400-500 people. God just began to meet. God began to bless, and God began to open up doors and all of those things. And you know what? People begin to grumble. Not the people in that church, but the people outside the church. They're making us. Now, if God blesses them and we don't have the energy they got, so we can't have that. Well, you could have the energy that he's got if you'd put forth the effort that he's got. And any church could have the energy if they would lead their team on to it. You can't do this by yourself. Amen. It's an impossibility. But you've got to have somebody that's in charge. You've got to have somebody that'll look, somebody that will take the bull by the horns and say, I'm going to take it. Let's quit limiting God. Let's put God back into the church. Let's put God there. Amen. I know that, and I don't know what Phil preaches now. I've got some tapes that Joe brought to me one time. I don't know exactly all of his messages, but I know he was very deep and very thorough in the Word. His dad was one of the most thorough men, teachers that you could ever hear. His dad wasn't a minister, but boy, he knew that Word. Amen. I went to him one day and I said, Brother Bailey, help me with this. He told me two words that was out of order. I said, that makes sense. He said, you don't know anything else? I said, when I do, I'll come back. Amen. I got a message on it. And then he told me the next Sunday, he said, I never heard it like that. And I'm the one that told it to you. Where did you get that out of what I told you? I said, well, you got one connection with God and I got another connection with God. And mine's a little bit different than yours. And yours is different than mine. But God needs all the connections. I had a call one day in one of the churches in Florida. And when this fellow had took the church, he was running about 150 people. And they called me and said, Pastor, Bishop, you got to get up here. I said, what's the matter? Just come. We've got to have you. We're down to 20 people. I said, yeah, I've been reading some of the reports. And I said, how many wants me? They said, everybody. I said, you'll have to sign sent me a letter. I got 21. I don't know. They picked up another one somewhere on the road. So I went up there the next Sunday morning. Church was just about to start. They didn't have no piano player. Hallelujah. So I went running up there. And I said, well, does this thing work? It does. Amen. And I sat there and I looked at them just a bit. And just a bit. And I said, hallelujah. Y'all are dead. And I says, the Lord is blessing me right now. I said, the Lord, He blessing me right now. He woke me up this morning. And some little old lady jumped up and she started to shouting, glory. So I run down there and start shouting with her. Amen. He said, you're running my church. I said, doesn't look like you got much of a church. 20? I asked him why he didn't send his young people to youth camp. He said, I'm not sending them down there where they go swimming. Wear bathing suits. Well, what do you wear when you go swimming? Swimsuit. Somebody asked me one day, said, Bishop, you like to go out to the beach. Your wife likes to go and your children likes to go. I said, yeah. He said, do you wear a suit at the beach? I said, are you out of your mind? No, I don't wear a suit at the beach. Well, you don't put on no swimsuit, do you? I said, depends on whether I'm going in the water or not. Amen. So he wrote some of the members of the board, and he said, our leader goes to the beach. Well, every one of them did too. Everybody just didn't know it, except this one Yohoo. But anyway, same guy that I went. He said, you can't come and preach in my pulpit. I said, why not? He said, because you have a television. I said, no, sir, I don't have a television. He said, well, somebody lied. I said, I guess they did, because I don't have a television. Had three of them, but I didn't tell him that. He said, well, you wear short sleeve. Oh, my God. I thought I had a long sleeve. No. He said, you wear short sleeve shirts. And we don't believe in that in our congregation. You been in one of them congregations? Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. But aren't you glad we got liberated? Aren't you glad that we found out there's more out there? And guess what I preached that morning? I didn't preach. You know, yeah, I've heard that word. But you know what I preached on that morning? Preach the word. Live your convictions. Don't preach your convictions, because your convictions a lot of time don't add up to the word of God. Live your convictions. Amen. Don't preach them. Live them. Live them. I've got a lot of convictions. And I got a lot that you probably wouldn't, anybody that drinks coffee, I feel sorry for you. You don't drink coffee? Well, if I drank one this afternoon and I drank the second one tonight, I'll have two in my whole life. You think it's wrong to drink coffee? I didn't say that. I just said I don't drink it. Amen. And so, you know, you get, why? I don't like it. That's the main reason. How do you know you've never drank it? I can't stand the smell of it. But there's nothing wrong with drinking coffee. There's nothing wrong with drinking tea. There's nothing wrong with, well, I don't drink Cokes. Somebody said, man, Coca-Cola is the best thing in the world. I do buy Cokes. What do you buy it for? Because the kids come over sometime and their battery has all that acid up there. And I'll take it and I'll say, go out there and pour that on it. And they'll go pour it on. I said, what in the world happened? I said, same thing happened when it gets in your stomach. Whoa, they quit drinking Cokes. I didn't preach against it. Forget your convictions. Preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. Just preach the word. And live your convictions. God wants to start us a life without limits. And this morning, I believe it's time that we come together as a church. We come together as a people. We're going to live this life. We're going to go back to Jesus. And we're going to take the word that God said. And when the word comes, and the word is full of life, that Bible is so full of life, why do we try to take a little negative, why do we try to take one little scripture out of that that's negative when the whole Bible is against all of that? When the Bible says, you've got to put every scripture in its place. You're the ones getting married? Don't let him, okay. Find Galatians, the third chapter there. You find it? That's why I'm wanting you to look at it. I can't see it either. There you go. Give her a light. Go to Ephesians, Galatians, and then you got it. Okay? You got the third chapter? Go about the 23rd verse.
Read it. 23rd verse. Yeah. I have no glasses on. I can't read it.
Just a minute. Keep that there. Praise God. Hold on. I want to read it out of your Bible to make sure it's the same as mine. I never wore glasses in my life. And my wife had cataracts. And she says, honey, you got to go get those cataracts off of your eyes. I said, hey, you know I got cataracts. She said, because you can't see as good as you used to. I said, I still read the newspaper. I still read the Bible, but I have to have more lighting than that, you know. And I have lighting like up there. I can read it. But I said, and so I went in. The doctor said, who told you you had cataracts? I said, my wife. He said, she's an RN. She's not an optometrist. She said, you don't have cataracts. I said, thank God. He said, do you have trouble when you read a long time? I said, yeah. He said, go to the Dollar General. I go to the Dollar General. I bought 8 of them one time. One to put in my car, one to put in my office, one in case I lose it. And so I carry that in my suitcase. And so what if I lose it? Case costs $2. Now, you got that there? It's right where? See, I'm very orthodox when I preach. Says, you are the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now women, bless God. Your husband, you're just like them. You're one in Christ. Husbands, if it'll work, tell your wife that we're one. My wife and I were one. And he don't only say, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. The word cleave means don't let somebody else get her. The main cleave, it means hold on to her. And cleave unto her, and you too shall become. Keep going. There's one more word in there. One flesh. One flesh. God is trying to get his people together right now. God's trying to put us together. And when I begin to see God's people coming together, that's when we can live a life without limits. I'm tired of the devil trying to take everything that a Christian has. We're living in a complex situation. The day that I left Dallas, 5 police officers are slain, 7 more injured. I don't have a television. I don't have a radio. I'm not in the Hilton. I'm over at the barn. Phil asked me, he said, how do you like it? I said, I'd rather be right here. I'm down where the action is. I can walk over there and I can look at things. Then I walked over at Willowbrook, I believe it was yesterday morning, and had a meal. is that the name of that place? Yeah. I thought it was, because Bubba used to belong to Willowbrook Golf Club and Tyler. And I'd go over there and play golf with him. But I thought about all these things. We're living so far below our means. that God can't bless us. We're living. All we have to do is look up and say, yes, Jesus, I'll do it. 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 We were building a church one time, and it wasn't a small church. It 300 foot long, 100 foot wide, and it was all under one roof, just, you know. And then we hooked it up. We had 900 chairs in there just like this. And then the rest of it, one of us was a cafeteria, and another was here, and another one was there. And I began to get uneasy. We'd had a credit line out, and I said, God, I can't borrow no more. I'm not going to. And I got to praying, I got to crying. And I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm not coming home tonight. She said, where are you going? I said, stay in my office. And I had a nice office. And I said, we've got some things we got to do. We're building a gym. We had 400 kids in school. I said, I've got to make sure this is going to work. She said, well, it's not going to help you. I said, it's going to help me. I'll stay in all night. She said, who's going to preach in the morning? I said, who always preaches? Me. And she said, okay. So about midnight, I see a car coming in. I hear the keys in my office. She said, honey, it's me. I brought you something to eat. I said, I'm not eating, honey. She said, well, I'll just leave it on the outside. You're already here. Come on. Amen. And I was on my knees and I was crying. And she says, honey, everything's going to be all right. I said, who told you that? She said, God did. She said, he's over there praying. I've already got it worked out. And said, you're here sleeping. And she felt bad about it. And so she come over there with me. Let me know everything's going to be all right. Next morning, I got up just like a service like this. And I said, folks, we've overdone. But you know what? I believe we're going to have the money. When I leave here today, not only we needed about $250,000. I said, I believe we're going to have about, we're going to build that, the gymnasium and build the school over there. And that's going to cost us a pretty penny. and they said, yes, but God will take care of it. A little lady got up from the back of the church and she come walking to the front. She says, are you Reverend Goforth that I hear on the radio every day? And I said, well, I'm on the radio. I hope you listen. She said, I do. And said, Friday, I just felt an urgency. And God spoke to my heart. And he said, what are you going to do with all these millions? Your kids are going to fight over them? They don't like God. Since you've even turned against me, since you've got wealthy. And she said, I wrote this check out. I looked at it. I said, well, that's $1,000. But I looked at it again. Well, that's $100,000. I looked at it again. I said, oh, my God. And I passed out. Hallelujah. Not really, but my knees got weak. Whew. Amen. We finished that building. We built that new gym. By the time we got that through, we had added over 300 new people that had come into our church. The glory came. We sent $160,000 down to Haiti that year. And I went down there and built about four or five more churches. And I had the soccer stadium in Haiti. And God just moved mightily. And I said, my heavenly Father, look what you've done. And all I had to do was pray all night. He said, no, you didn't have to pray all night. You just had to believe. One time's good enough. You don't pray till you get through. You pray till you pray through. That's it. Some people come and say, we're going to have an all day prayer meeting. I said, great. And maybe an hour or two, I'm up and I'm gone. They said, Pastor, where'd you go? I said, I prayed through. I've got to go work now. I've got to put some legs to these prayers that we've been putting on. And the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart. I walked into a building last night and he couldn't find the lights. Is that Freedom? No. Yes. Is it BCC downtown? I walked into it and I said, Phil, look at all this in here. It's almost as big as what you got here. It won't hold quite as many. But I said, you know, and he took me down and showed me another floor. Then I think he took me upstairs and showed me another floor. I said, how many floors he got on this thing? Three. Well, I seen all of them. And I looked there and all of that. And the Lord said, they need some help on this. I said, really, Lord? He said, yeah. So I got home last night and you went home and went to bed. I went home, got my Bible out. He said, don't limit God. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. I think it's going to be a youth group down there. I think it's going to be offices down there. Am I right? I don't care what it is. He said, don't limit me. Don't limit me. Amen. And I sort of took back a tear or two. I didn't let Phil see me. And I said, okay, Lord. He said, help them with this. Amen. He said, I'll make a way for you. But you didn't come up here just to see Phil. You didn't come up here just to look around. You didn't come up here because you're a Red Sox fan. You didn't come up here. I think the Red Sox are ahead of the Yankees too. And I'm not going to get into that. I'm talking about something else that's very serious. To me, seriousness is when we obey God. Don't limit God. And God said, I want to bless my people. I want to bless this church. And I'm going to bless downtown. They know you from out here. But after a while, they're going to know you from down there. Everywhere I go, everywhere little towns that we're in, he says, well, we've got a building over here. We got this land over here. We got 11 acres back here. I said, oh, my Heavenly Father, what a great day. What a great time. This is great. Hey, I know you, Sam, and Paul, and is that Cherry? Sarah? And Ann. No, that's not Ann. There's Ann right there. Praise God. You say, you know them? Sure, I know them. I know all God's people. I met them last night. Good to see you. God love you. I enjoyed that. It wasn't even spicy enough that it kept me awake last night. Amen. See, I've been in India. I've preached there 4 or 5 times. I've been there. I know where it's at. I've been in Bombay. I've been in Calcutta. I've been all up down in the south. I've been in the Trinidad probably 12 times. And most of that is the West Indies is from India and Jamaica and all those countries. And I enjoyed it so. But the Lord said, you didn't come just to meet new people. You come to help your son in the Lord. So this morning, we're going to receive an offering. Not for me. Not for him. Not for no individual. But it's going to be for God. Everybody got that? It's going to be for who? For God. Somebody's going to say, what do we need? I don't know, $300,000. I know I've got up in my own church and there wasn't that many people there. And I'd say, God spoke to my heart. I don't tell it unless God speaks to me. But God did speak to my heart. And God said, I want you to help me. I want you to tell the people there's a need. And I want you to tell them the limit is coming off. Don't put God on a budget. Now, we are on a budget, but don't put God on one. Out of all the years that I was general office, they'd come and they'd start to make their budget. And they'd say, what do you think it ought to be? I'd tell them, amen. I remember one year we went into convention and we had several thousand people there. And they said, our convention budget is, I forget what it was, 40-some thousand. And I said, but you know what? What are we going to do about the school? What are we going to do about our missions program? Well, we just don't have the money for that. I said, I'll take the offering up today. It's first day. I said, I'm tired of you guys getting up there and begging and pleading. Just let me have it. And when I got through, we had $190,000+. Glory to God. And I didn't give all of it. I don't have that kind of money. But God said, just take it. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. Somebody here could write a check for $10,000 this morning. Boom. Just like that. If I wrote one for $10,000, they'd be calling me the next morning. Said, Reverend, you're overdrawn again. I said, just cash it. I'll have the money in there before I'll have it in there. Amen. But God wants to do something. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is the greatest church that I've run into in all of New England. This is the greatest pastor that I've run into in all of New England. I love this man. I love his wife. I love his two daughters and his son. And I've never seen an 8-year-old brilliant grandson like he has. Amen. And Father, I'm going to ask you for the blessings to overtake these. Proverbs, all these good Bibles, all these acknowledgments, Numbers, the 28th chapter, about the 3rd verse, it said, and when you call upon Him, the blessings of God will overtake you. Lord, some of these people doesn't even know it, but they're going to have new bank accounts next week. Why? Because they're giving today. They're going to have a new, it's going to be something out of this world. Amen. God is coming on the scene this morning. Jesus.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.